This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan. And we're just giving out the gospel, my friend. The Lord give us that charge, preach the word, preach the gospel, be instant in season and out of season. And I know for a surety that there's folks who don't agree with the Old Trailblazer, and I understand that. I don't fuss at you. I don't get mad with you. No. I have folks write me seriously about things that we say, and we discuss them, and we don't fall out about them. But my friend, this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We've been bringing you a study for the last few weeks on demon possession. And we only have two or three more studies, maybe on that particular subject. And we're looking now at demon holidays. Yes, demon holidays. That's what Christmas is. That's what Easter is. Others, my friend. We've gone into that quite extensively. Let's look at Christmas on another way. Sending so-called Christmas cards. We mentioned that in our last study. People who want to be honest, they send out Christmas cards. They won't send them without a verse of Scripture on it, which is a compromise. Let me say here, that's abomination in the sight of God. You ask why, Trailblazer? You see, Christmas is a demon holiday. Came out of old Babylon, the city of idolatry. Christmas was originally the celebration of the sun god's birth or demon worship, and God says, be separate. Be ye separate. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I mentioned to you in a study or two back, if you have an Encyclopedia Britannica or a World Book Encyclopedia, you go there and look up Christmas and see what it says. I've had to do that. I've had to do that for a report in school back there years and years ago. And then look up Easter while you're at it. Just look up those things. You may find stuff on the internet about it. I'm not sure, but you might try. If you could, what they call it, Google Christmas and Google Easter. But listen, would you think, my friend, think with me? Then why should we take God's word and link it together with demon worship? Oh, my friend, what would you think about a person advertising a big jamboree or a dance or a get-together, a festival, where there's drinking and smoking and cursing and all that, and you send out a card, and on the bottom of it you put John 3:16? No, my friend, listen. Christmas is a demon holiday, and a Christmas card with a verse of Scripture on it is abomination in the sight of God. Oh, I cry out in holy horror at the mixture of the Word of God and demon greeting. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to open our folks' eyes. I know that I just touched the hem of the garment, so-called, here on these broadcasts. I don't have time to go into all of them. But may the Lord open your eyes to see, as He did mine. Let us see this growing evil. I don't fall out with folks who celebrate Christmas. Most folks do. But it's a dishonor in the name of our blessed Lord. His name was Merry Christmas. May there be such a confession of our sin to the Lord. May there be a crying out for deliverance from this pagan worship, because the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. It won't be long, folks. The Old Trailblazer is very adamant about that. It won't be long until we hear the cry, go ye out to meet Him. Made this statement several times. I believe I'll be here when the Lord comes. I will. I believe I'll be here when the Lord comes. Have you ever thought about that day when the Lord will come? I believe it'll be a beautiful, sunshiny, crisp morning. I've often told this little imagination of mine, if you want to call it that, in New Orleans, while we were there living, I conducted funerals. A lot of funerals. They have those great old cemeteries there. And I've seen as many as 5 and 6 backhoes digging graves left and right of where I was, consigning one to the grave. And this thought came to me. When the Lord comes, that bright, sunshiny morning, and the shout come, those fellows will be digging. I used to have a backhoe, and I dug some holes, but I never did dig a grave. But I would have if I could have been asked. But I see those fellas digging, one way over yonder, and one right here by me, and one right next door. And I believe when the Lord comes, and that shout comes, the trumpet blows, and those graves which hold the bodies of God's children, no doubt there'll be some there, those graves are going to come open. The old headstones are going to fall over, and the dirt's going to come out of there and pile up. And them fellas, those fellas operating those backhoes, men are spooky by nature, but in a cemetery it's worse. And they see that dirt flying off of those graves, looking around, and over here at one, over there at one. And they're going to head for the bushes like a rabbit to the broom sage, my friend. Won't that be a great day? Oh, won't that be a great day? The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going first. They're going first, my friend. You don't have to stand in line. They're going first. And then we which are alive and remain, those of us who trust the Lord, those of us who know the Lord, those of us who have been redeemed, washed in the blood, cleansed from all of our sin, we will go next. We'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I've heard commentators who, brilliant people, I've heard them say that there won't be enough folks took out. Folks won't even miss us. Folks won't even miss us. But I believe they will. I believe there'll be airplane pilots that'll go. Those planes will begin to crash if the co-pilot don't take over right quickly. All those things, ships at sea, boats, all of those things, my friend, we can't even imagine, can we? We can't imagine. No. I've heard tell of folks that get concerned about their soul, about the coming of the Lord, and they'd, in the middle of the night, they'd wake up and reach over and see if their wife was still there who knows the Lord. A wife who knows the Lord, or either go check in the baby bed and see if that baby's gone. Oh, my friend, what a holy horror. But my friend, let's get back to our subject here. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh and won't be long. We'll hear that shout. Go out to meet him. Are you ready? Are you ready? All of these studies mean nothing, my friend, if we don't get personal with you about your soul. You old trucker, you fella up there on the old I-95, old I-70, I-40, wherever you are, maybe way out there on I-5 in California. I've been there. I've been all up and down that coast a couple of times, those great old redwood trees and those things. But I love them. But my friend, are you driving down that road listening to the old Trailblazer? And keep your eye on the road now. But let me ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Listen. One day we're going to hear that sound. How would you like for the Lord to come and find you at a typical Christmas party, drinking and feasting and making merry, and maybe having an illicit affair with some other man's wife, and you and her having a high-youping time? But listen. Oh, listen, my friend. Listen. It will be a sad day. It'll be a sad day. I wouldn't want to be in one of those places, would you, when the Lord comes? No. The Lord might say, my child, I'll just leave you here. Listen, we can be in the world, but not of the world. I know what the world has to offer, my friend. I know. I know all about it, and it takes grace. But God's child no longer desires those things. He said, I give you a new heart. You know why we need a new heart? Because the old heart longs after the flesh. We still have the old heart. It's resting right there, but it won't have dominion over us no longer. No, the new heart is in control. But when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what will your answer be, my friend? Oh, what will your answer be? How are you going to answer? I wish every preacher, every pastor, every pope, every bishop listening to me today would set an example before your people. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. My friend, we've lost a lot, hadn't we? We've lost the old-time prayer meetings, as we spoke of earlier. Oh, but listen, there's nowhere in God's word where we are permitted or commanded to celebrate the birthday of Christ. But I'll tell you what he does have us to do, and that's to celebrate his death. Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, said, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, again said in Corinthians 1:2, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then he said, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I wonder what the death of Christ means to you, my friend. I often speak to you truckers up there. I'm not picking you out to badger you. No, I just long for your soul. I long to hear from some of you. We have some who give out the pastor's booklets and the truck stops and way stations and all of those things. You write me, I'll send you a package of them. You can put them out. You can be a missionary for Christ. You can say, well, I don't know how to witness for the Lord. I'm timid and I'm scared. My friend, when you go to the doctor's office and you're sitting there in a waiting room, you have one of those little booklets in your purse, lady, just put it on the end table there. And I've done that. And I've seen folks come pick them up and read them till they call them up and then slip them into their purse. They're free, my friend. Oh, but listen, I wonder if you've ever sat down, my friend, and thought seriously about your soul. Have you, as a lost, condemned sinner, ever been made to cry out, Lord, save me, else I perish? Can you look up and say, old Trailblazer, he was died for me. He died for me. He's my sin offering. He died for me. He took the stroke. My friend, do you know anything of pardoning grace? Are you sheltered beneath the blood? Oh, listen, living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me. I'm waiting for his coming. Are you? I'm waiting for his coming. Christ was born to die. He never talked about his birthday. He never did point out to his disciples back to the day of his born, but he was always, always telling them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be put to death on the third day he would rise again. Brother, how many celebrate his death? The world never celebrates his death. Only born-again believers celebrate the death of Christ and the resurrection of our Lord. Every time they come to worship, they sing about his death. They sing about his dying. They glorify in the resurrection. Listen, what about that song that we sang here? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And then we sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, my friend, what grace. What grace. The born-again believer knows that everything he has or ever will have is tied up in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the blessed Lord. Unsaved religionists get tired of hearing the old Trailblazer talk about the death of Christ. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. Let me ask you in closing, have you been washed in the blood? Do you know what his death means? If not, my friend, may God have mercy upon your soul. Oh, if I could sit down by your side, drink a cup of coffee with you and tell you what Christ means to the old Trailblazer. Surely, one day I was a lost sinner. I was just like many others, cared not for my soul, didn't realize that I was a poor sinner. But one day the Holy Spirit enlightened me, sent the gospel home to my heart like a barbed arrow. Oh, if we had more time, this is the old Trailblazer. I wish you'd go there to my website, radiomission.org, and look up much about us here, get a picture of the old Trailblazer. And then, if you would, write me, let me hear from you. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810 Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.